This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Row 1, Seat 1 podcast. This is Ben, a.k.a. Boston Nuga. Thank you guys for joining me along on the ride here. Went to the Action Wrestling Show in Tyrone, Georgia this past weekend. Actually brought Ava along. She slung pizzas as she is now a veteran at. Made $5 in tips. Again, bring your kids to wrestling shows. It's a blast. If they can get involved, it's a really good time. And I'll talk with my guests about getting your kids involved in wrestling. But I actually brought my mother to her first wrestling show this time. She's not even a wrestling fan, but wanted to get her out of the house. And convinced her and prodded her along to go to wrestling. And she actually sold merch at the wrestling show. And she said she had a really good time. So bring your parents to wrestling. Bring the whole family. It's a fun time out. It's a really good time. The fun for the whole family, especially a family atmosphere show like Action Wrestling. You know, you can find a show around you that's a real family atmosphere. Really try to bring your whole family along, even if they're not necessarily wrestling fans. There's something for everyone to enjoy with independent wrestling. There's something that everyone can get a kick out of. My mom found entertainment in the characters. She found entertainment in the connections between people. She really enjoyed how hard the people were working behind the scenes. And she grew appreciation for wrestling that she didn't have before. And I think that, you know, if you have people in your life that aren't necessarily wrestling fans, if you bring them to independent wrestling, they will find something that they will latch on to. And they will find something that they appreciate in independent wrestling. So there's my spiel for the week about independent wrestling. We're getting into a heavy independent wrestling season coming up in 2 months. We have WrestleMania week, but I have a very interesting guest this week. I want to kind of highlight the unsung heroes of independent wrestling, and I can't think of a greater unsung hero of independent wrestling than my guest this week. I have Robert Starks Bellamy, better known to you, me, and the world as Mouse. Mouse is the, if not the premier photographer of independent wrestling, one of the premier photographers of independent wrestling. Mouse, thank you for coming on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
What was your moment where you fell in love with wrestling? What was the sticking point for you where you said, this is something for me?
Well, probably watching wrestling on Saturday mornings as a kid, watching like Hogan and stuff like that. Watching Macho Man. Then you lead into the Attitude Era stuff and fall in love with like Chris Jericho.
Where'd you grow up?
Southern Indiana, New Albany, Indiana.
Was Hogan your guy growing up, or was Macho Man? Who was your guy?
Macho Man and then Chris Jericho.
There you go. And then was wrestling something that was accepted by your parents in your school and something that you always had, you know, was really like, you know, welcomed, you know, in your life, or was it something you kind of had to hide?
No, surprisingly, it was welcomed. Growing up, you know, you and your buddies would make like wrestling belts out of cardboard, stuff like that. You find mattresses to wrestle on. Then, you know, some people stayed with it and enjoyed it, and others just moved on from it. So definitely like in high school with the Attitude Era and playing sports, a lot of the stuff that people were seeing on Monday nights, you would bleed into football games, things like that. So you definitely seen a lot of that. Then I wrestled 1 year in high school. So a lot of kids that were wrestling in high school really loved Kurt Angle. So it was a lot of that. So wrestling kind of stuck around. You just didn't have as many people really into it as you got later in the years.
Sure, and then Indiana is kind of a hotbed for independent wrestling. Did you start going to independent shows at a young age, or did you ever go to WWE shows or WCW shows at a young age? At what point did you start going to shows?
My first live show was actually an IWA show whenever they used to still work out of the Blue Barn off of Highway 62 in Charlestown, Indiana.
That had to be a sight.
I went to one show. I cannot tell you who was on that card. I just remember some kids from my drafting class all wanted to go, so they knew I liked wrestling, so they invited me along, and one of them was going to allow somebody to use their skateboard as a weapon, but then he thought better of it when he seen how wrecked the building was. And we took the T-square from our drafting class and got blood on it and took it back to the teacher the next day.
That's amazing. And that wouldn't be your first experience with IWA Mid-South.
No, I honestly didn't go back to another IWA show until one of the many restarts that Ian had. It's when he had started running at Colgate. Through my girlfriend's job, she met Ian, and he had invited her to bring her family out to one of his shows. And we went to a show that took place in the middle of a winter storm that was probably the most stacked wrestling card you could ever have during a blizzard.
Who was on it?
The one match that stands out was, I know we've seen Jonathan Gresham versus Ricochet.
Oh, man.
I believe there was Chris Hero versus Trick Davis. I'm pretty sure BJ Whitmer was on the card. Jimmy Jacobs was on the card. This was during one of those periods in time where Ian was getting any and every name he could at the time. Like, for a while there, we were getting Kyle O'Reilly on a regular basis. Elgin was on a regular basis. Jimmy Jacobs was always there. Chris Hero, whenever he would pop in. So we were getting some really good wrestling. This was during the Colgate days.
Explain the dichotomy of IWA Mid-South, because they always got really good names, but they'd always close down. They'd always have business problems. Explain kind of the goods and the bads of IWA Mid-South to people who aren't necessarily familiar with the promotion.
Well, in this area is very weird. It has its ups and downs on what people are willing to see or what people are willing to pay for. And I think that once the bridges got finished, because this area also spent millions of dollars on building brand new bridges. So there's two bridges that are, there's actually three bridges that are toll bridges in this area and two that aren't. And the two that aren't, either one you have to go through downtown, which means you got to do a lot of work to get across. Another one's in a town that I grew up, which would take you about 10, 15 minutes out of the way to get to whatever venue that a wrestling company would want to use, because they tend to run in Jeffersonville, Indiana, or Clarksville, Indiana. So just the work to get to the show is a lot. And I think a lot that hurt IWA is during that transition time where he was bringing in a lot of names and doing a lot of stuff at Colgate and later Jammers, which is in Clarksville, Indiana, he started getting so used to having these larger crowds, because he was pulling in maybe 200-300 people on a consistent basis. He was running once a month on like Sundays. He did one gigantic show that had like Jeff Jarrett on it. It was during that time where Jeff Jarrett was going through talent scouting, if he wanted to call it that.
Sure.
for that Global Force.
Oh yeah.
And like right after that, like that show had Jeff Jarrett, Hurricane Helms, Chris Hero, I believe, it was Drake Younger's last show. BJ Whitmer was on the show. Kyle O'Reilly was on the show. So like it was a stacked show. Right after that, Ian started going weekly.
And Ian is Ian Rotten, by the way.
Yeah. And then from
promoter
weekly.
Promoter of IWA Mid-South.
Eventually, after he went weekly, he was going two times a week. So it was just so much. And then along with that, other companies started popping up. So now you're splitting the audience so much. And like any area, especially any area that is poor. So not everybody's going to have $15 to $20 per show. So you got to imagine a family of four, if they're doing $20 a show, that family doesn't have $80 to spend on one show every week, let alone having to do it twice a week. So now you're going from 80 a show to 160 a week for wrestling. That's some people's light bills, things like that. So it's just the cost to try to keep up with wrestling in this area is just too much.
So it just got burnt out.
Yeah. So, and then along with that of people getting burnt out, like I said, it's a lot more companies popping up. So like right now, as it stands in this area, you have IWA, they run on Thursdays. They run some Saturdays. You have a company called EWE, which was started by some students from the Grindhouse Academy that my kid trains at. Then you have OPW, which is another group started by the brother of a kid who trains at Grindhouse.
Of course.
Then you have PPW, which were started by fans of IWA in the area. Then you have Grindhouse, which of course is the trainee school show. So, and that's not even counting OVW across the river. And then I think there's another company that's coming that's going to start running the arena here shortly. So
this is all within a, 10-mile radius?
Half of it's in one building.
Oh, my God.
So it's just, and then to top it off, is not only is it all in one building, there's not much of a difference between any of the products. Like, that's my biggest pet peeve with the wrestling around here is that we make it easy for these kids to not want to travel. They have it so easy to, I can sit in this area, wrestle in one building, wrestle for every company here. And guess what? I'm a wrestler now. I'm booked all month. I don't have to go try and get a booking. I'm always booked. That's why one of the things I put in my kid and Billy's head is don't stick at home. Like starting off, I set the rule for her. I said, you can do Grindhouse and you can do Girl Fight. That's it.
And that's it, yeah.
For the longest time, that's all she did. Then the more and more me and her mom got involved, the more and more we would make friends with different people running stuff. So people would lean on that friendship in order to get her on their show. So she did a couple shows, like one-offs for different companies as favors. But other than that, she's pretty much stayed pretty clear with sticking to one or two places in the area. Like currently right now, she's only been working for Paradigm, and she's done two shows for them so far. She hasn't really wrestled for anyone else since the beginning of the year in this area.
But going back a little bit, you grew up in a wrestling hotbed. So you grew up where there's all this wrestling around you.
Yeah,
and you grew up in a, you know, so you're growing up and you're, you know, there's, you know, for a fan, you know, it's got to be great.
Oh, yeah. If a fan could choose anything they want. One, Louisville's still a stop for WWE. They still will, like, they just started back doing TV in the area. They used to just only do house shows, but now they're doing TV, you know, every few months we get a TV stop. Then you got OVW, they running every Wednesday, and you got to think during the early 2000s, they were developmental for WWE. Yeah. So people were seeing the early careers of Randy Orton, John Cena, you know, Shelton Benjamin, things like that, Brock Lesnar, like all of these guys learned everything they did here. Half of them, most of the tattoos that they have on their bodies were done in Clarksville. So a lot of these people developed friendships with these people because they were here so long. Some of them still come back. Like I think Elijah Burke helps train some class at OVW or something like that. Then, you know, you got to think you go to Cincinnati, which is only an hour and a half away. You had like HWA there. So you had all of that stuff.
And that was a developmental territory for a little while too, right?
Yeah. So there's just wrestling in every direction you go. It kind of reminds me of how Madman Pondo would tell the story of him growing up and how he, from the town he was in, he goes in any direction, he's going to hit some major wrestling. And that's how this area is. It's like you just go either down the street from where you live or you just literally travel a couple hours in any direction, you're going to hit something.
So you grew up in this wrestling hotbed. But you have another love. At what point do you pick up photography?
Well, like when we started going to shows as a family, I would take terrible pictures with my cell phone because that's all I had. Mm-hmm. But we went to the Arnold Classic the first year that they did the WWE experience there. And it was the first year that NXT started traveling. I met Ichiban Drunk there. He's a photographer out of Michigan who shot AIW. He does freelance now. And he's done Evolve, stuff like that. I just remember seeing his face at IWA shows and seeing his pictures, so I started talking to him. We discussed his camera and different things like that. So I decided I might as well invest in a camera because I wanted to be able to take better pictures. And my goal was literally to sit in a crowd and take pictures. So I jumped on QVC and bought a cheap camera just so I could see if I like it or not. And it started from, yeah, I'm enjoying this, to I really started enjoying it. And what really got me going was Cole Radrick, to be honest. He was the first wrestler to message me and ask for pictures. And I was like, oh, so they talk to you if you take pictures type of deal. So I started, you know, trying to get better. So the more I did within the wrestling business, the more I started investing in equipment and investing in learning how to actually use the equipment.
And there's an art to it, isn't there?
I still have no clue what I'm doing. I just shoot, and whatever looks cool to me is what I try to do. I'm slowly learning things. I've been lucky to come across people that are very helpful. Like one of the early people that was very helpful to me was Dave Chris' girlfriend, Maggie. They were coming to IWA whenever Dave was a champion, and I talked to her a lot about camera, lighting, different light modifiers and things like that to help, because she was shooting Rockstar Pro show, and that helped me get better at learning things about the equipment. Then also I started reaching out to Robert Holt, who shoots his fisticuffs photography out of North Carolina. He started helping me out a lot. Once I started figuring more about the equipment and figuring more about how to navigate, you know, the ringside, it started becoming more fun. And now I could add other things that are challenging. Then that's when, you know, I slowly started pulling Billy into photography.
It seems like a lot of it, too, is being in the right place at the right time. And you seem to have an impeccable sense of timing. What do you just chalk that up to being so familiar with wrestling that you know kind of what's going to happen when? Or do you just chalk it up to dumb luck?
A lot of it is knowing what's going to happen and understanding certain things that people are going to do, like noticing their movements. It's like a perfect example is I shot so many Aaron Williams matches. I know when he's setting certain things up. So I know, okay, I know where I probably need to be based off of what he's about to do. It was the same way with, like, at this point, shooting my own kid. I know what she's going to do or what she's going to try to do by certain movements she makes. So I know to get in a certain spot or shift or angle the camera a certain way to make it look cool. So you start picking up on things like that from watching people. Like if you take another photographer, like a wedding photographer, stick them out there, especially in the settings or the locations that we have to shoot in, they're probably going to take a little bit longer than us to adapt to it right away. Like you can take a photographer that shoots wrestling and pluck them into any venue, and they're going to probably figure it out in a match or two. It'll take an entire show, probably several shows, for any other photographer to probably figure it out. Because for photography, the venues that we usually are shooting in aren't the best. Usually they're a lot darker, low light. Especially if there's guardrails, things like that, you're in a cramped space, you're crouching down a lot. You're doing things that most photographers really don't have to do. Also, while dodging, trying not to, you know, get your camera kicked or hit, or you get kicked or hit. Because at the end of the day, you'll probably sacrifice your body for your camera.
So a lot of it too, what I notice about you is you're always traveling, and a lot of that too is a lot of what you're doing too is for your family. But even without your family, you're everywhere I'm at, and I'm everywhere, and you're probably everywhere times three. What point did you say I'm going to really commit to this?
Well, the first time we ever really traveled, like I said, because of Co-Radric, I started expanding and try to get better. So I seen him on a flyer for a tournament he was doing in Terre Haute, Indiana for New Wave. So I messaged him and said, hey, CFF promoter will let me shoot. Cole messaged me back. He said, yeah, you're good to go. So we went up and we shot that. That was the first time I ever really left my comfort zone. The next time I left was Madman Pondo was like, hey, you want to go to Pittsburgh? I was like, when? He told me the date. I was like, sure. So I went to Pittsburgh to shoot a girl fight show for Pondo. And that was, at that time, the furthest I had driven for probably anything outside of a vacation. Then from that, it's just you start meeting people and you start seeing where they're working. And if you like them enough, you try to shoot the shows they're on. Like, that's 100% how like Stuff Grabs came about. I seen their flyers, recognized some faces and names, DM'd the page, ended up realizing I was talking to Jesse. And then I met Jesse at a Black Label show. And I think their February show, Achy Breaky Heart, I came down for the first time. The same way I got into Black Label. Seeing a show was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. Figured out who Mikey Blanton was, messaged him and said, hey, I would like to come up and shoot. Had a chat with him. It was a really awkward chat. Like, he was like, what have you done? I gave him a list of places I had shot. He was like, okay, cool. 2 weeks go by. I was like, am I booked? Am I shooting? He's like, oh, I'm very bad at this. Yeah. When I said, okay, cool, that meant you could do it. Okay. but I've been there since day one. So that's literally probably the first place I've ever been there since the first day and haven't missed a show. Other places I've probably missed a few shows here and there, but that one's been a day one place. And it's cool to see where it's gone. Like, coolest thing about that place is I watched my kid go from hanging out, taking pictures in the back, shadowing me, to wrestling on the main card.
Yeah, let's talk about Billy, because you're doing this as you know, kind of a side hustle, side career, but you're also doing it for family bonding because you have a daughter in the business. Talk a little bit about Billy. Introduce the world to Billy.
Well, that's our blue-haired gremlin. she started watching wrestling whenever I came into her life. I would force her to watch wrestling docs. I'm sure she could probably count on both hands and feet how many times I've probably made her watch Chris Jericho's WWE doc. We would sit and watch anything wrestling. We would force her mom to go to as many wrestling shows as possible. Like I mentioned before, Ian had invited her mother to bring her family to a wrestling show. So that was one of their first live wrestling shows. I think before that, when they went to a show that used to run in the area called D1W. But she just immediately just took to it. It's something that she liked. I think the violence aspect of it and hitting people, she liked. I think the kid just had some aggression in her, and she realized that that was something where she could hit somebody and not get in trouble. So as she started following me around, she's always showed interest in wanting to do it, and we pretty much lucked in somebody being willing to train her. I was joking.
What age did she start training? Because she's what age now?
We don't really talk about it.
Okay, sure. Okay. But she's young for a wrestler.
She's in high school.
Sure.
But essentially, I was joking around with Pondo. I was like, hey, when are you going to train my kid to be a wrestler? He was like, I don't have a building. He's like, the person you need to talk to is Tony. So he pulled Too Tough Tony over, and we're like, hey, Tony, you know, you've met me a couple times. My kid wants to be a wrestler. He said, well, bring her to a practice, and we'll see if she likes it. She went to a practice, and the trainer at the time asked her if she wanted to get in the ring. She said yes. She got in the ring and started rolling around and taking bumps. We looked at each other and realized she was never getting out of the ring, and then they had the conversation about money. And she's been actively wrestling, coming on like a year and a half. She'd be 2 years next October for her first match.
Cool.
But she's coming up on 2 years of training coming up in May.
And she's really good, especially for a high school kid. She's really good. She's really, really good. She worked Bizarro. She's worked Black Label. She's worked all over the place. With much thanks to you and the wonderful support she gets from her family. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She's a heck of a little worker. You should be very, very, very proud.
Well, the one thing I've always told her is I don't want her to be good for a kid. I don't want her to be good for a girl. I want her to be good for a wrestler. So the thing is about reviewing her matches or critiquing her stuff, no one's harder than she is, but then no one else outside of her is harder than probably I am. I think the only person probably closer to being harder than I am on her is probably Jonathan Wolf.
Yeah, she's falling in with a good group, too.
Yeah, so she's not, you know, one of those things where she's getting told you're the best in the world or anything like that. I'm going to be hard on her. So, you know, she's a teenager, so we butt heads about it. But I just want her to be the best she can. And it's one of those things, I don't think anybody her age or probably twice her age is going to outwork her.
And she loves it. And that's the important thing.
Yes.
You can tell that there is a love of the sport in her, and there's a joy in her that is conveyed through her wrestling. And I hope that never leaves her, and that that's seen in very few wrestlers of any age. And I said this a couple weeks back, there's just an excitement that's exuded from her that you don't see in anyone at any age.
Right. Just being in a ring, being near a ring, being part of wrestling, being around wrestling, it's her happy place. I don't think anything else in this world at this point in time makes her happier than doing something that involves wrestling. And me and her mom will drive her to the end of the earth to allow her to be in any wrestling ring. So, like, one of her happy places is rolling around in Indianapolis with the rest of the IFHY kids, or our Tuesday open ring times, or any practice she can get into. So anytime she can do anything wrestling, she's going to do it.
Now, you're balancing being a parent and balancing trying to keep up a photography career. Or is it a career? I mean, do you get paid much being a photographer? Is there any sort of monetary incentive here?
It's not much.
I can imagine.
Like, honestly, if anybody's looking to get into this to make money, not a good decision. I'm sure some people probably make money at it, but I don't see how any of them, unless they are working for the WWE, traveling like the wrestlers every show, every week, are making a livable wage off of wrestling photography. I'm sure every one of them has some other type of job to offset the cost that wrestling photography, or it's like being a wrestler at an early stage. Like, you're going to have something to compensate the cost of travel, the cost of, you know, food, whatever, lodging or anything like that. Like, the one thing that I've been lucky, like, especially if I got a long weekend where I'm traveling and needing to stay somewhere, I've met enough friends that I've been able to crash in people's houses and things like that. It's like, in this area, our house has become the the crash spot. So any given weekend, we probably have three or four guys or more spread across the house on couches or whatever. Like this past weekend, I think my girlfriend woke up to go get her coffee in the morning and came across Matt Kenway and AJ Gray on the couch. And she's telling me, like, you didn't tell me AJ and Matt were coming. I didn't know AJ and Matt were coming. I thought AJ was going to come back and get his car that he just randomly left in our driveway and go home.
That's a way to wake up.
Yeah, I ended up having a lazy Saturday with AJ Gray watching XFL this past Saturday.
It's amazing. Though you have worked at some pretty big places, though. You had some pretty big gigs.
Yeah, somehow I got added to this Facebook group that's nothing but wrestling photographers. And through there, I noticed that one of them was shooting Ring of Honor every time they went to Atlanta. So I messaged him, asked him how did he get booked for it. He passed me along a contact. I emailed that contact, and I started to get to shoot Ring of Honor in Nashville, Tennessee, and then also shoot Ring of Honor in Columbus, Ohio. So I've shot Ring of Honor for the past 2 years or so now. So I have Ring of Honor Nashville coming up the end of February on the 28th. Then I'm going to shoot the Ring of Honor Pure Tournament in Columbus and Pittsburgh in April. I try to shoot my shot for the Super Show in Mania Week, but he said he already had it booked, but he would keep me on a short list in case something changes.
That's not bad, though. Still, Ring of Honor, that's a hell of a gig.
Oh, I'm shocked. I remember the first Ring of Honor show that I took the kids to. We went with a buddy of ours to Dayton, Ohio for Flying High. We got to watch Chris Hero versus AJ Styles at the fairgrounds there. And now they handed me an envelope at the end of the night to take pictures of their show.
Could be worse. Could be worse. Have you worked any any other big shows that you want to brag about?
I did an Impact Tribute to the Troop show that they did with
That's cool.
Tried and True. Once shot a Impact show that they did with Revolver, shot one that they did with Rockstar. Outside of like shows, that's about as big, I guess. Other big things I guess I've done is a few GCW shows. I've done one Revolver Pancakes and Power Driver show, which was last Mania. I'm going to do the one that's coming up this Mania. Got, of course, a couple things I'm going to do down a Mania week. Right now, I know I have the two Black Label shows, AJ Gray's For the Culture show, Uncanny.
Oh, cool. That looks like a good show.
Been in talks with Punk'd Pro to maybe shoot their show. So, rest of it, I guess, is trying to see what else is left big to do.
You mean crazy busy like the rest of us, Mania Week?
I think everybody down here is going to be crazy busy.
Yeah, I got tickets to like 12 shows. I'm not a smart person.
I don't think any of us are smart. We're all going down to Tampa to not sleep and run around from show to show.
Well, I've decided I'm not doing LA, so I'm going to die this year instead of next year.
I think most people are probably not doing LA.
Yeah.
I think most people are looking at, you know, you look at New York, you look at Florida, that's relatively not too far from where most of us that we know are located at.
At least LA's another world.
Different. Yeah, let those people have that fun and the rest of us can stay away from it.
Yeah, that's just a whole other world. I don't want to hop on a plane.
I'm saying this now and then Mikey's going to be crazy enough to book a Mania show next year or something.
Yeah, no, I'll probably, yeah, no, someone's going to twist my arm, I know it, but as of this moment, the day they announced it, nah, I'm good.
Like, 100%, that's the only reason I think I ended up there last year was Mikey ended up booking the Mania show for Black Label, so I kind of knew, okay, that's at least one show I'm going to be shooting. And then I've had open invite for any Revolver show I want to shoot from Sammy, so I knew that was at least two shows that I could do. Then the rest of it was just whatever happened. Because the previous year, what was it? Was it New Orleans? I think
yeah,
it was the
New Orleans
year.
Yeah.
We were in South Carolina because Billy was still doing competition cheer. And I'm watching all the shows that are taking place at Mania. And my girlfriend's sitting there looking at me, and she knows I wanted to be there versus being in South Carolina. So she had told me, no matter what, if you want to go next year, you can go.
That's cool.
And then we got lucky, I guess, if you want to say we got lucky. But Billy decided she no longer wanted to do competition cheer and wanted to focus all of her attention completely on wrestling because she was only doing cheerleading for wrestling.
Okay.
She wanted to learn the tumble for wrestling. So she picked up competition cheer. So that meant we didn't have to go to any random competition. And so we made it the family spring break vacation to go to New York.
Nice. So you also ran your own show this year.
Yeah.
How was that? I heard it was wild.
Day of was fun. Leading up to it was stressful. One, I just assumed that nobody was going to show up as far as the wrestlers I booked. Then I figured that there's probably going to be no fans showing up. Then you're getting annoyed because people are bombarding you, asking you, can they be on the show? And you're trying to explain to them you don't have a budget to put everybody on the show. And then I was also co-promoting the show with a musical act, so I then have to figure out how their fans were going to react to the wrestling and then how my wrestling fans are going to react to the music. So it was just a lot going on, a lot going into it. Luckily, my girlfriend handled most of the really important stuff. The only thing I had to focus on was booking wrestlers, which was basically asking my friends if they wanted to wrestle for me for a reduced rate.
Here you go.
And luckily, I apparently have a lot of friends because I probably had just as many wrestlers on the card as I probably had fans in the building. But we somehow managed to not have anybody mad at us, saying that they didn't get paid enough or paid or anything like that. But we did manage to come out of the show and make Trash Bag Wrestlers, which I'm proud of.
Trash Bag Wrestlers?
Oh, yeah. Bradley Prescott got his head set on fire.
Oh, you made it on Trash Bag Wrestlers, the Facebook thing. Yeah, oh, that was the show that Bradley got. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you also had the Tom Hanks Memorial Battle Royal.
Yes, that was...
even though Tom Hanks is not dead.
Well, the beauty of that, it comes from miscommunication that happened during SCI last year. IFHY and Sobros was doing an interview, and Jonathan Wolf, I think, was mentioning the movie Castaway. And I think Stoney or Moe's, one of them thought that he was saying that Tom Hanks passed away. So they started talking about Tom Hanks being dead for half their show. So I was like, all right, we might as well just make a joke out of it and keep it running. So we called it that because, like I said, everybody was asked to be on the show. It's like, what am I going to do with all these extra people? So I was like, hey, Adam Slade, you're in charge of this Scramble Battle Royal. He's like, what does that even mean? I was like, you figure it out. So how that match worked was 100% Adam Slade. He came up with the rules. He came up with how it was going to work. He placed everybody where they needed to be.
You had Wilson in it, didn't you?
Yes, which Adam Slade went and picked up Wilson. I believe he still has it.
He still has the Wilson?
Yes.
That's amazing.
There may or may not be in existence a match between Wilson and Madman Pondo. Complete with entrances.
With entrances. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, so just kind of kind of go from here. What advice would you give to anyone looking to get into wrestling photography?
Don't expect to make a lot of money.
Fair enough.
But honestly, like, I've helped a couple people. Like, for some reason, like you said, since I show up at a lot of places, people tend to inbox me a lot. So I've been fortunate enough to pass on a little bit of information to a couple guys out there. Like, there's a photographer out of New Jersey area named Frankie Kurtz. When he first started really traveling, really getting into bigger places, right before that, he had messaged me. And my advice to him was just keep getting content out. Once you get enough content out, you'd be able to start shooting your shot at whatever you want to do. And essentially that's what he did. And he ended up getting into CZW,
cool,
which then raised his profile a lot. Like, he last the Mania, he helped at WrestleCon and he shot a lot of the meet and greet stuff. I think he was the second camera assisting on the Joey Ryan, touch his penis meet and greet.
There you go.
Then there was there's another kid out of the Chicago, Milwaukee area named Ian. He shoots under name 3Count. Right before he started really expanding his portfolio, he reached out to me and was like, hey, how do you get into all these different places you're shooting? I gave him advice. Once again, get content out and don't be afraid to shoot your shot. And before I know it, like within a month or two, that kid was shooting AAW.
Cool.
Some of his behind-the-scenes stuff is some of the best stuff I've ever seen. I've been fortunate enough to shoot, you know, a couple shows with him, GCW Black Label show, and then he came out to the Revolver show in Iowa and shot. He's even been able to take promo pictures at a girl fight of Billy. So, like, it's just amazing to see where that kid has made it to. I also helped the same way somebody helped me get in the Ring of Honor. I paid it forward and passed him the contact. And he also used another photographer that's great up in the Chicago area to help him get there. I think he's shooting Ring of Honor on the 29th when they go to St. Louis. So it's things like that where just get pictures out, get content out, and don't be afraid to shoot your shot. If you think that you can do it, call your shot and go do it. Like, message a promoter, show up.
Well, Mouse, thank you so much. Anywhere you want to promote that you're going to be or anywhere you want where people can see your pictures? Get your social media out there?
They can see my pictures on Smug Mug. If you just search Robert Bellamy or go to Twitter, Mouse3911, or Instagram is Mouse's Wrestling Adventures. If you search those things, you'll definitely find my pictures. Or just pretty much keep looking at the internet. I'm sure somebody will post something that I took.
It's a strong possibility, man. Your stuff is everywhere.
I try. I need to get better. I need to get more content out.
So I think you're doing a good job. Thank you so much, my friend.
No problem, Ben. Thank you.
We are here with Mikey Blanton. Mikey is the owner of Black Label Pro, and he is one of the people behind the collective this year. The collective is the thing of the year that I am most excited about. It is the one-stop shop for WrestleMania weekend, or collective weekend, really. We should start just calling it collective weekend, really, because really that's where everything happens. Mikey, welcome to the show.
Fuck you, Vince. Collective is where it's at.
The collective is... there's... more than a dozen shows, I think, happening over the course of 3 days.
The entire state is running a show.
Well, no, I mean, at the collective, there's more than a dozen things happening.
No, I'm saying, like, there's a state that is running a show at the collective, the Lone Star State.
Oh, the Lone Star State of Texas. That's right, Texas forever, brother.
Yes, they're running a show. I don't know if it's the governor. I don't know if George Bush is involved. I don't know.
But there's everything you could possibly want out of wrestling is happening at the Collective, and I want to talk to Mikey about it because Mikey is one of the brains behind it, along with Brett Lauderdale, GCW. And, God, Mike, talk to us about just the joy that is going to be happening over those 3 days.
I mean, for me, I'm going to be tired because there's going to be a lot.
None of us are going to sleep. None of us are going to sleep at all.
Yeah, I don't sleep now. But, it's going to be great because here's the thing. Brett is a picky motherfucker when it comes to who's doing the show or, you know, who's joining us in the Collective. And, I mean, there are a lot of companies that we're seeing advertised elsewhere that were definitely turned down to be a part of this just because, you know, we kind of want the cream of the crop. You know, there's, AIW, who I always say John Thorne is my uncle in professional wrestling because I look up to him and, you know, the stuff he does because he does it his way. And I really like that. And obviously there's a bunch of different like theme shows, which is great. You know, there's the For the Culture and Effie's Big Gay Brunch, I think it's called, or something like that.
Effie's Big Gay Brunch. Yep.
There you go. And just Bloodsport is different than everything else. Even though there's a different blank CW that is trying to steal the exact same thing, like, but just way shittier.
They
but
yelled at me like, for calling them the fake GCW, by the way.
It is what it is. Who yelled at you?
Their Twitter account.
Which company?
The fake GCW.
Oh, that's not who I'm referring to.
Oh, okay.
But read between the lines, people. But yeah, I mean, there's competition, but we have the packages that we're selling this year, and we've sold literally twice as many plus than we did last year because it's the best deal around. I mean, you could get GA for all of these events for, you know, a couple $100 and like, that's it. You spend your $200 and then you're there for 3 days of just nonstop, not just wrestling. There's other stuff. There's stage shows. There's everything. It's awesome.
I literally couldn't get front row package because in the 3 hours it took me to drive Dylan and Matt and Scott to Action Wrestling, it sold out.
Yeah, man. They went quick because we only offered 20.
Yeah.
And it was also like a really great deal because you get 20% discount and you get a bunch of free shit too. Yeah. So it's like, you know, add on, you know, $100 of free stuff plus you're already getting 20% off the normal price. Why would you not do it?
Yeah, I wanted to do it, and I was driving people, as I'm wrote to do.
No,
that's I'm
you're
still
the wheel
going,
man.
I'm still going to 12 shows. It's fine. I'm like Arn Anderson.
Yes.
Let's run through some of these shows because some of these shows are amazing. All these shows are amazing, but some of these shows are especially amazing. We kick it off Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Dear God, why? with Jimmy Lloyd's Degeneration F. I like this because it's showcasing a lot of new talent. My boy Ben Carter's on the show. What do you know about this show?
I know about Ben Carter. I know he's really talented. I see him going places. It's just kind of a chance because like everywhere you look, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, it's just like, hey, just letting you guys know I'm in Tampa. And like a lot of these guys, like people don't understand, like you got to hit home runs because there's so much competition.
And this show is free, by the way.
And like, yes, and this is a free show, but I'm saying like for your show where you're putting your money down to run these shows and you're, like my wife and I were coming from Indiana to Tampa, you know, got sitters for the kids, all this stuff because we're going down there and we're going there to run a business and you want people to want to see the show. So you gotta put your best out there. And for me, like a lot of my regulars just aren't going to be on the show. Like not a lot, but some of them. And it's just because, you know, you got to draw fans and, you know, fans WrestleMania weekend are different than the fans that you have locally sometimes, you know. It's just you gotta make it yours, but you also have to appeal to other people. So it's kind of like a puzzle you gotta put together.
And then you mentioned the state of Texas is running a show. That's the next show, Texas Forever. What I like already so far about the collective is that a lot of different talent is already getting. It's not. It doesn't seem like the last few years where you're seeing the same 20 guys on 8 different shows. You're seeing a lot of different talent get announced. So you're going to see, you know, 100 different wrestlers as opposed to 30 different wrestlers on these different shows, if not more.
Well, yeah, you gotta use them in different ways. Like, you gotta try. I mean, the talent that's there that you could get at a, you know, decent price, you have to try to utilize them in a way that they're not going to be utilized elsewhere. Like, it's, you know, come up with an interesting match and make sure that that match hasn't been done before. But if it has, make sure it's something that people want to see and need to see. And it's like, there's a thing on Twitter like maybe a week ago about how indie wrestling is dead, blah blah blah. Those people are fucking stupid, because all of these people are rising up. And even say the, you know, Alex Zanes or Blake Christian, say they get signed up in the next couple of months, you know what, there are 10 guys that are just as good right behind them, because these people are watching these people and they're training. They're like the kids at Freelance, they train so often because they just want to get better. They want to get better. They travel. They're trying to, you know, do everything they can to just be a better wrestler. And that's huge right now.
We just mentioned Ben Carter. Ben Carter's out here killing it.
Oh, yes. Yes. They, like, even, yeah, because he's an Iowa, like, you know, it seemed like Steve Manders was, like, the only one from Iowa for a while that was, you know, really, really traveling. But he, like, I saw Ben Carter just got announced for AAW, you know, up in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which, that's, you know, that's a big deal. So it's, you know, it's good that he's getting places. And it's cool. It's not just, I mean, but yeah, like, it doesn't matter, because there's a lot of good guys down there that, like, okay, Cabana Man Dan, he lives in, like, Alabama. He's amazing. And I will use him forever, you know, as often as I possibly can to get him on the shows, because, like, he's great. It's the traveling, the people that are willing to travel versus the people that aren't. And it's really cool that there's so many out there that are like, okay, I'm going to come there just for an opportunity. You know, like, just for, like, I know Wheeler Utah, he is on my next event. And, you know, he lives in Philadelphia, and he drives with what are they, Young Dumb and Broke Boys?
Oh, like, yeah, the Jordan Oliver. You know, all them,
yeah, 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 not Jordan Oliver, the other ones. But yeah, oh, yeah, they're good, though. They're good, and they come not knowing, like, you know, this next show I'm going to give them a pre-show, but they don't know that. They're just coming to come to help out, and yeah, it's cool.
And as a promoter, the collective gives you the opportunity to see talent you might not otherwise get to see.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
a great
opportunity, like, for you.
Yeah, but you always don't want to be that guy. Like, that is the constant fight. It's, you don't want to be the guy that is too late, that missed the boat on it, that has to bring them in 2 months later. You want to be the one that introduces them. And it's so hard finding that.
You want to be on the vanguard.
Yeah, like, you don't want to be late to the party. And it happens.
So Thursday night is Bloodsport. Bloodsport, yes, is my one of my two or three favorite shows of the year, because it's so unique. Were you at Bloodsport last year?
No, I was not at Bloodsport. Well, I mean, I was there for part of the time because I helped out with the pictures.
Sure.
For Suzuki, okay, just as I did the year
so
before.
You were there and you weren't, yeah.
Yeah, just because, like, it's, you know,
I'll take the lead on this then. Bloodsport basically is no ropes, submissions, knockouts. It's basically based after a kumite. It's like the movie Bloodsport. And if you like the movie Bloodsport, you will love this show. And it's all guys with kind of shoot backgrounds and real tough guys. and dudes who can genuinely kick someone's ass in shooty real fights.
It's cool because, like, Matt Riddle did the first year, and then he got signed up, and you kind of wondered, like, oh, man, like, that was a cool concept, but, like, that was kind of his baby. And then Josh Barnett came aboard, and he's, like, he's taking it to, like, a whole new level, I think. And he's just, like, he's so into it, and he finds these guys that, like, you know, you may have forgotten about or not really known that well, and then you can just see what these guys could do. And it's real cool, man.
Yeah, it's so unique. It's different. It's so unique.
For sure.
Yeah, I sat front row last year, and I just, like, nearly got bled on, and it was just fantastic.
Oh, excellent, man.
Friday morning is some stuff for you. There's a Q&A with Dave Meltzer.
Yes. Dave and Brian are going to be doing Wrestling Observer Q&A. That was a deal that I put together just because it's, you know, love them or hate them, there's a subset of fans that really like them, and even if you disagree with Dave on things, like, his, like, the amount of knowledge that he's forgotten, and I know it's a cliche, but he's forgotten more than most people know, and it's just the truth.
Yeah,
he remembers all these stories, and it's just an interesting guy, and it's a cool thing, and it's exclusive to us, so it's cool.
The list is him and Chris Zellner.
Yes. Oh, of course. Like, I might not even put Dave in Chris Zellner territory, because Chris is just a top-notch guy, and just, oh, man.
I saw Chris Friday, by the way. He told me to say hi to you.
No, great guy. I actually have tried for 2 years in a row to get Between the Sheets live, and I failed both times, so...
Yeah, I talked to him. He's not going to be able to make it this year. I even offered to drive him, but he's just not going to be able to make it work with work. But
work happens, and yeah. And I'm sure he ain't going to make it to L.A. I don't even think I'm going to make it to L.A.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it to L.A. either. So 11 o'clock is For the Culture. This is a new show. Yes. This is put on by your friend and mine, AJ Gray.
Correct.
Talk about it a little bit.
Brett has really given AJ kind of like the run with this, and it's just...
And AJ was on my show talking about it a little bit. It is all persons of color.
Yes.
And it's a really cool concept.
Yeah, of course. And it's like... Because people could say all that. There's definitely shows, and I feel like I'm almost guilty. I'm not almost. I know I'm guilty myself. But it's not anything like... I mean to do it. I definitely don't mean to do it. But there's just so much talent out there that isn't getting utilized, and it's not right. And we all need to evolve with that. We all need to change our ways of thinking. Not that, you know, I'm even thinking that. I'm just saying, like, we all need to incorporate change of just, you know, people of color and women and just everyone into our shows, because there's so much talent there. There's so much talent everywhere. And it's like, you know, you need to utilize that. And I think this is going to be a way for, you know, everyone involved to just see what talent is out there and just like, and how great the show could be.
Something I'm excited about is the Laughs Fan Live. I'm a big fan of that show. Love that show.
Yes, me too. That's another one that I set up. You know, big fan of that show. I think it's interesting. It's different. Their live show, I think for the people that don't know, is going to be like a completely different type of show than that will be anywhere. You know, there's characters that they perform, and it's super cool. If you're a hardcore fan of wrestling, like especially older wrestling, it's a can't miss deal, and it's awesome.
Coming up Friday afternoon is Pizza Party Wrestling. This is something near and dear to my heart. I'm a big fan of what they do. They're putting on, I think they have Super Crazy on that show. They have Alex Zane on that show. They have Dan McCabe on that show.
Correct.
They have just a world of talent.
Eric Stevens
on that show. Tony Deppen.
There's a lot. There's a lot there. It's their 1 year anniversary show, which is kind of cool that like you're able to celebrate your 1 year like on this stage, and like, and it's just a fun show. That's the thing. And it's like, you know, they don't overthink it. They don't like think like, you know, they don't have their noses up at anyone. They're just having a good time, and that's a great thing to have.
Yeah, Dan's a great dude. I was at their first show. Fred Yehi, Dan McCabe, was my match of WrestleMania weekend last year, and they're bringing it back.
They're bringing it back, yes.
And it may be my match of WrestleMania this year, because Dan and Fred just go out there and absolutely kill it.
Yeah, of course.
Colt, Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana. Again, if you're just into these podcasts and you want to see them live, you guys have the top podcasts, the top shows out there. And, I mean, this is a chance to just go and get a live experience and see some wrestling.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know if you've ever been at an Art of Wrestling podcast before. It's a good time. He, like, and he really, you know, tries to incorporate the crowd and just keep it entertaining, keep it lighthearted. It's, yeah, I like that. It's a fun thing. And, like, you know, if you're, you know, there's going to be points where you're going to be kind of like, man, I need a couple minute break from wrestling, or, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see something
Never.
Else. You have, I know you aren't that person, but, and I'm not that person, but they exist, you know, and sometimes I'm that person. Shit.
Yeah, no, I will totally need a break at some point. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
But then, speaking of not needing a break from wrestling, the annual show of the year for independent wrestling is Friday night. The most bonkers show, the most well-attended show, the most talked-about show. We're talking about Joey
Janela
Spring.
Okay,
tied for first. Tied for first.
I'm joking. Yes. Joey Janela is next level, okay?
Yeah.
Anyone that denies that, you don't belong in wrestling. And he overthinks, and I mean that in the best way, because he wants to just entertain people. And if people don't realize, he spends so much time on trying to think up stuff just because he thinks it'll be cool and it'll be entertaining. And just like, I mean, the stuff that they do, Brett and Joey, to pull this thing off is just amazing. And it's cool. And there's going to be so many fans at the show, and it's, you know,
they're probably at 4,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they might get it.
And it's possible. It's possible. The fans are there. It's going to be the most entertaining show. And they're not the people that aren't going to, they're spending money. They're spending money to put on a show where you're going to see things there that you're not going to see elsewhere. And it's because they're willing to cut into their profits just to put on something.
Great Muda, you know, is on the show. Minoru Suzuki versus Orange Cassidy, and that's just what's been announced so far. And then
yes,
the Clusterfuck, which is the wildest battle royal of the year, every single year.
Yes.
Last year had Mantar in it, Fake Sting. I think it was 70 people in it last year. Was that the count?
Yeah, like truth be told, I didn't even watch the last year one. I definitely need to, because I've heard it was. It was quite incredible, but I was in a coma post my own show last year.
I was fucked up off my ass, and I was there, and it was the most enjoyable experience while I was fucked up I've ever had in my life.
Great,
yeah,
great.
It was great. It was absolutely great. And then in the cleanup spot, after Joey Janela Spring Break, how do you swing this? The true highlight of the weekend. Black Label Pro is running the ballroom Friday night, April 3rd at 11:59 p.m.
Yes. Yes, it's going to be packed in there. The tickets are doing well now, and I wouldn't just say, you know, but you better get some tickets if I didn't mean it. But yeah, like it's like I'm also trying to do something different and offer things that aren't on other shows. Like we're doing Filthy Tom Lawler versus Ming of the Faces of Fear, or,
oh,
you know,
Haku.
Made
me so happy.
And it is just like a super fight feel to it. It's going to be great. We have Jordan Grace and Layla Hirsch against Violence is Forever. And it's like, for some reason, even though they're like, Jordan and Layla, like, kind of remind me of each other. They've, like, never touched in the ring. And I just thought it was kind of a cool thing, like, stylistically, because I make Jordan, like, wrestle outside of her comfort zone all the time.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's my friend. And also, she's such a good wrestler that, like, you know, like, people think, you know, see her, you know, Twitter pictures and stuff like that of just, like, confidence. And she's just, you know, like, you know, wearing a nice dress or something like that. Like, Jordan's double tough, man. She's tough as hell. And obviously, Layla Hirsch is, you know, her reputation speaks for itself. And Violence is Forever are just badasses, both of them. They're going to want to fight. And those girls are going to want to fight. Like I put on Twitter the other day, Jordan is going to be cranky because she is not happy I'm making her wrestle past midnight when she normally goes to bed at 9. So, like, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Then we have Nick Gage against Stefan Bonner. UFC Hall of Famer Stefan Bonner. Just, I mean, if you have IWTV, well, if you don't have it, go get it. IWTV.live. It is, like, and I believe it was at Slammelton in November.
Yes. We were there, yeah.
Yes, and it was Stefan Bonner against Logan James. And, my God, a murder occurred. It was
a legit murder. Like it was not the safest match I've ever seen in my life.
No, and they just beat the shit out of each other. And just, like, I mean, Logan James earned himself a job forever. I told him that day because he just,
if he can walk again.
Yeah, he was in there. He was in it to win it, man. And he did it. And Stefan Bonner gave him the sickest kick I've ever seen ever. I think about it constantly. And yeah, they're going to fight each other and it's going to be wild.
And someone might shoot die.
Who knows? Yeah, the King Nick Gage, man, he's not afraid of anything. Stefan Bonner's not afraid of anything. You know, it's same thing with Tom and Haku, man. Neither of them are afraid of each other. It's just, we're just going to see what happens.
So basically, and the show is called Threat Level Midnight. But it should just be called Tough People Beating the Shit Out of Each Other.
Yes, because we just announced a new match tonight while we're recording this on Monday night.
Sorry.
We announced Jake Something against Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, beefy boys.
Some beefy boys, some meaty boys slapping meats, and it's going to be awesome. That is
two more big tough motherfuckers.
Yes, and Jeff Cobb's been someone that I've wanted to work for me since I started BLP. I've tried and tried and tried and tried, couldn't make it happen. And then very recently, you know, he and I were able to meet up, make a deal. And I thought, who's better than Jake Something, who I think is, you know, such a talent. He's just amazing. And I think that's all we have announced thus far. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what we have announced.
But there's going to be more announcements to come, too.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I have some stuff in my back pocket that is, oh, man, okay.
So then we will wake up for 11 o'clock Saturday morning, well, or just stay awake. Because Effie's Big Gay Brunch is Saturday morning at 11.
Yes. Razor Ramon Hard Gay.
Razor Ramon Hard Gay is going to be there.
Yes. I'll be honest. Like you said, like the earlier you said, like Yay High and Makave was like the thing. Like you're like, man, that could be the best. I marked out when they announced this. I was like, oh, that is wild. That's awesome. It's a cool thing.
Yeah, and it's a show highlighting LGBTQ wrestlers and LGBTQ friendly wrestlers and just again, you know, kind of, you know, people who don't get the light shined on them very often. And Effie is doing a wonderful job of bringing to light people who are not seen very often.
Yes. That's another thing that, like, you know, people don't realize, like, on these shows there's so much room on these shows for like an everyone's show, you know, for inclusion, and that is a big thing that we're going to be learning this weekend you know, in Tampa.
3 o'clock is friends of yours, Glory Pro.
Correct. They have a beefy boy Jake something match against Hammerstone.
Oh man.
And I think I'm pretty sure it's KLD and Dickinson.
Oh god.
That's another you know, beef fest kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, they're good guys. KLD and his partner, which I'm not going to say. It's going to be a good show. They're going to put it all out there. So, you know, everyone knows.
And then Wrestling with Regret, is that?
That's Brian Zane.
Brian Zane, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a real popular YouTube show that I definitely watch all the time. Yeah, he's kind of doing like a Mystery Science 3000 with wrestling thing.
That's
kind of
cool.
It should be funny and entertaining. It's cool. I like that.
Cool.
And
then 8 o'clock might be the show, the sleeper show of the weekend, especially for ghouls like me.
Yes.
Especially, I went to a Georgia Shindy Deathmatch tournament last weekend, and I'm officially a ghoul now.
Yeah.
But you want real good deathmatch, like legit professional deathmatch by good deathmatch workers. Freedoms Wrestling from Japan is coming at 8 o'clock Saturday, April 4th. This is like professional deathmatch by the best deathmatch workers in the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, it's going to be incredible. And like I said, they're pulling out all the stops for this. And so it's a different type of wrestling. So we're giving you options, and there's also a show that, we definitely didn't cover. It is, AIW on Thursday night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I meant AIW. Yeah.
Yes. They are having, a show Thursday night, and we know that Joshua Bishop and Matthew Justice are going to have a no-rope barbed wire match for the Absolute Championship, which should be insane. And also Ice Train's going to be there, so that's another one you're going to want to
Ice Train
support.
Is the one picture I want to get all weekend, actually.
Oh, God. There you go.
What do you mean, oh, God?
There you go.
Ice Train, Ming, and Great Muda. Those are the three.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That should be cool.
I see you. I think I can just see you mocking me, even though I can't actually see you.
I am.
Yeah. And then after Freedoms, again, you got a cleanup spot right here. Warhausen's, yes. WrestleMania.
Yes, Danhausen and Warhorse. I really am giving them kind of run of the show on this. I am, you know, inputting what I can, and like, there's a couple things that I've added, but like, they're really, you know, they have their ideas, and like, it's going to be cool. Like, for sure Warhorse is going to be there, and Danhausen, of course, is going to be there, and I'm getting a text from Matt Griffin. Okay, AC Mac is going to be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can't
and
forget
O'Shea is going to be there. Don't worry. I got it, Matt.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Jake Something is going to be there. We're doing Shaza McKenzie versus Ali Bat. the loser gets sacrificed to Satan.
As one does.
Well, why wouldn't it? And it is like, there is so much that we have in our pockets for that. I mean, like, we announced Nick Gage versus Daniel McCabe. Like, come on. That's going to be a wild match.
I'm so, so, so looking forward to that match.
Yes, yes. So there's so much we have not announced that is... I think that of the shows that, like, of my two shows, and don't get me wrong, like, I think that they're both going to do well. I think this one has the better chance of selling out just because of what we still have in our pocket. It's going to be pretty wild.
It's for off-the-wall potential.
Yes, and if you want tickets for that one, go to warhausen.com And if you want tickets for our other show, just go to blpwrestling.com.
Then we have, yeah, you mentioned AIW. AIW is Thursday night at midnight. Black Label Pro is Friday night at midnight. Warhouse in WrestleMania is Saturday night at midnight. Suburban Fight, what do you know about Suburban Fight?
I'll be honest, I'm very ignorant to Suburban Fight. I just don't, like, not that I dislike them or anything, I just don't really know.
Sure, that's okay. Yeah, and that's the cool thing about this, too, is that we're going to learn about a lot of wrestling groups that we don't necessarily know a lot about.
Of course.
So if, you know, No Peace Underground, I don't know a lot about, but I might get, you know, I might check them out a little bit here and there just because I don't know very much about them, right? You know, I don't know a lot about some Texas promotions. I may check them out because the whole fun of WrestleMania weekend, the whole fun about this collective is that you're going to see some stuff that you didn't necessarily know about.
Something for everybody. That's what I say over and over and over. Something for everybody.
So if people want to get tickets to the collective or people want to get tickets to particular shows, you mentioned how they can get tickets to the BLP shows, but if they want to get a collective package, collective2020.eventbrite.com.
Yes, that is how you could get the packages. There are not going to be that many more that we offer. We are coming close to the end of the road for that. So, you know, if you want to get those packages, definitely hop on it because it is the best deal that weekend. For $200, you're going to get so many shows. I mean, it's less than a WrestleMania ticket, most of them at least. And you're going to get all these shows. You're going to see so much. You're going to see so much talent. And it's just the best deal. You gotta jump on it.
And then if you want to get tickets to the individual shows, just go to those individual promotions. They will be promoting their WrestleMania shows.
Correct.
Their collective shows, that is. And you'll find ways to get tickets to those individual shows. You can go piece by piece. You can go collective package. The package is really the best way to go as far as bang for your buck. But if you want to just kind of go piece by piece by piece, you can do that as well. So
yeah, of course. A lot of people do it.
So, Mike, anything else coming up for you? I know you have a show on Leap Day.
Yeah, that is correct. It is called Quantum Leap. We have that. A bunch of big matches, man. We have Eric Stevens defending against the finally debuting Josh Alexander. A match that was supposed to happen a few months ago, but Josh got hurt. We have Effie versus Warhorse. We have Chris Dickinson returning against Jake Something, some beefy boys. Speaking of the beefy boys, we have Corn Beef against Bear Country, which that's going to be...
My God.
You know, yes.
Corn Beef is Utah, Manders and Big Beef Garvin.
Yes, correct. And we have Wheeler Utah coming back. He's teaming up with the debuting Lee Moriarty against Lee's Violence so is good. Forever. Lee's oh, yes, so yes. We have AJ Gray defending his Midwest title against Kylie Ray, which is, you know, that should be great. I'm trying to think of the rest of the card that I'm just... Yeah, I cannot think.
That's enough right there.
Yes, of course, right of there. Course. I'm sorry, guys. I do not sleep a lot. but yeah, it's definitely going to be a good show. It'll be, it'll be a good time.
And it's at 1 o'clock.
1 p.m. Yes, it's the day of the AEW pay-per-view in Chicago. It's 45 minutes from there. The show will end, you know, 2 hours before the AEW show, so you have plenty of time to make it there. So if you're traveling up for AEW, pay-per-view, whatever it's called, just, you know, stop by our show. You'll have a good time. It'll be great. Oh, yes. How could I forget? Alex Zane and Blake Christian against the Rascals. That is going to be ridiculous.
Oh, man. So good. So if people want to check out Black Label Pro, how can they find Black Label Pro on Twitter?
At B Label Pro. Trust me, I will get that at Black Label Pro one day, but currently it is at B Label Pro. And for tickets to all of our shows, it is blpwrestling.com. And if you want merch, we have hoodies, we have t-shirts, we have all types of things, and it is at blpmerch.com.
Fantastic. Mikey, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we will, if I don't see you on Quantum Leap weekend, I'm trying to see if I can make it, then I will definitely see you Collective weekend, sir.
Yeah, for sure. Fantastic. For sure, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Over in the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, Jenny and the Gems are back and all hell is breaking loose as the crew checks out the EWA Team Challenge Series pilot and discuss Battle of the Breakfast Cereals. On New Wrestling Warzone, JT and Chad deliver a deep look into WWE In Your House 6. This month's You Don't Know Billy Jack, Drew and Jordan check out Misawa and Kobashi battling the Holy Demon Army from June 9th, 95. In this week's NWA Power Pod Blast, Scott and Dr. G continue their weekly reviews looking at Episode 17. JT, John, and Jenny continue their dance on PTB Extreme Three-Way Dance with a look at four episodes of Hardcore TV leading up to November to November 94. Be sure to check out the PTBN Pop feed, littered with great content with tremendous shows, including the hard-traveling fanboys who are celebrating the 200th episode this week. Congrats to Nick and Greg on a tremendous accomplishment. Be sure to check out this momentous show. Additionally, on the feed, shows include the Glenn Butner Podcast Hour Spectacular, The Urine Pop, Laughing Theater, DC4U, The Great Debate, Marvel Age, The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's Jenny Position feed, as well as the home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, Journey Through Infinity, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is underway. We are in round 5. There'll be 4 matchups per day, so be sure to like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. We officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. All you have to do is research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at facebook.com/GWCWmatches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. If you're interested in joining our 2020 Wrestling Pay-Per-View Pick'em Pool, reach out to us on social media. It's not too late. Be sure to check out placemenation.com every day. We have new fresh voices and fresh takes bringing us articles in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE, Paulie's Perspective, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping on Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of Place to Be Nation's homepage, or use placemenation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon with no cost to you.
Your rant.